And now, to hear this morning's message, please put your hands together as Reverend Kate, she talks about the third chapter of the Science of Mind textbook, what it does. So please.
I'm waiting till that microphone goes off, so hopefully there's not too much feedback. Is there a little feedback? Okay. Because everything was set up perfectly, and then for some unknown reason, I went back and filled with the knobs. I don't know, maybe I was a little nervous about speaking or something, and when I was done, I was like, oh, why did I do that? Why did I even touch them? They were just right. But everything is just right, and as I was listening to Michael Paul and his song, I was just sitting there and thinking, okay, did he pick that song before or after I wrote my talk? Interesting. So here's what I wrote. Good morning. What an amazing morning it is. In this amazing world. We are living together in quite an amazing time. So much is happening, and here we are together today taking a look at how to live well in this amazing time and place. It's amazing, right? So I wanted to use the word amazing because I didn't want to use the word good or bad or chaotic or challenging or peaceful or warm or cold, because I wanted to bring up the point that when I say amazing, each one of you had a different definition of amazing that popped into your head, right? Because we all have our own point of view. So according to what we were feeling this morning, we have our own reaction to the word amazing. So I want to give a simple example of what I mean when I talk about the power of a personal viewpoint. So just imagine that there are two women and they have gone on the same group tour to some wonderful destination. They're at the same hotel and they wake up in almost identical rooms with the same view out the window. One woman looks out her window and says, oh, what a beautiful day. I am so glad to be on this tour. It's going to be a great day. And the other woman looks out her window and says, oh, what a crummy day. I wish I had stayed home. That's a personal viewpoint. The women look at the same scene and they see something entirely different. And what they see looking out their window is going to impact their entire day. What they see has more to do with what they are thinking than what is going on around them. It's their own perspective and their own set of beliefs that actually set their experience into motion. And I'm sure you agree that chances would be that one woman is going to have a great day and the other not so great. And that brings me right to the focus of my talk today, what it does, a riddle in simplicity. And when I say it, I mean spirit or God, the thing itself, life. Because, as Reverend Ron mentioned, this month we're reviewing the basics of science of mind. So, you know, we've got this big book out for sale in the lobby, and I have to say for years, I pretty much only read the first 25 pages. You can do that. They're very good. And then finally, you know, when I was in ministerial school, I was like, well, I guess I ought to read it. I recommend that too. But you don't have to. Just read what you want. But the idea, the basic idea of science of mind really is that there is good for us. We ought to have it. We can have it. All we have to do is understand how to go about it. So whether you heard the earlier talks this month or not, I think that you will agree with me that there is a changeless something. We call it spirit. Because probably otherwise you wouldn't have come to a center for spiritual living if you weren't at least somewhat interested in finding out more. So we say that spirit is creative. And we say that spirit is always in the process of becoming or unfolding. So spirit passes into form. Spirit doesn't actually make form out of nothing. Spirit makes form out of itself. Substance is actually spirit in form. Spirit is infinite. It has no beginning, it has no end, it has no limitations. It was not created. It is self-existent. So these are kind of mysterious things that we don't understand the why and wherefore of necessarily, but we see it's the case. So some things you have to accept. But we do see that spirit is loving goodness. And spirit is divine givingness. And we know this is true. It must be good, because if it weren't, otherwise it would not be able to express life in this abundant way. So we, each of us, is surrounded and imbued with the all-knowing mind of spirit. So when we talk about our oneness with spirit, we don't mean that we are this universal spirit. What we mean is that we come from it. We are individualized. We live in it. This is what we're talking about when we say we're children of God or children of spirit. The essence of life, the essence of beauty, truth, wisdom, all of it exists in it, in spirit. And so do we. That's why we can draw good from spirit, according to our capacity to do so. Ernest Holmes said that we can draw from spirit as though we were drawing water from a well. Wouldn't that be simple? I mean, don't you wish you could just do it that way? It would be so great if you could just like grab a bucket, draw some of that good, dip it into the well or the river. Well, it's not that simple. Actually, it's even simpler. That's right. So, have you ever heard of the term WYSIWYG? It's kind of a computer term, WYSIWYG. What you see is what you get. And it's an old saying, but when it's used as a computer term, what it means is that what you type on the keyboard is what you're going to see up on your screen or on your printed paper. Just the way you meant it to be. And behind it is the computer code. And we don't have to learn the computer code. We can just pretend that our computer is like a glorified typewriter and use it. So it's perfect for people like me who don't know that much about computers. But I looked up some of the different meanings of the phrase, what you see is what you get, that predated computers. And there were some really interesting differences in opinion of what does it mean when you say what you see is what you get. And I know you've all heard that phrase. You know, it could be like your mom gave you a peanut butter sandwich and you wanted cheese. Well, what you see is what you get, right? Beggars can't be choosers. Nothing is hidden. It's obvious. Or another one was, you know, what you see is what you get, meaning, well, take me as you find me because I'm certainly not going to be changing for you. Right? So all of these definitions, but they're not the definition that we're talking about today. I'm talking about using the phrase in a metaphysical way. What you see is what you get. The metaphysical interpretation of what you see is what you get means that what you are able to see, what you are able to envision, is what you are able to experience. So we always want to keep a positive viewpoint, right? Look on the bright side. It makes sense. But actually, there's even more to this than just that simple thing of stay positive. So you can think of the phrases being in three parts. The first part, what you see. And this represents your thought, the seed. The second part is simply the word is. And this is what the spiritual law does. It responds to your thoughts, to what you see, in the same way as the soil in a garden responds to the planted seed. Spirit is always in the process of becoming. And then the third part, what you get, this is the outcome or the manifestation, the fruit of your thought. So what you see is what you get is the same thing as saying that our thoughts become our experience. What you think is what you're going to experience. It's very simple. And here's how it happens. So simplest of all, and we do it all the time unconsciously. You know, you don't need to know science of mind to be living with this spiritual law. We simply see something with our eyes, or maybe we hear it, and then we interpret it according to our point of view, our personal temperament, like the two women on the tour did. But we also have an ability to see in other ways. We're not just limited to the impressions that come into us. We're not limited to our physical senses. We can use our own imagination. We can dream. We can daydream. We can be inspired by others. You know, tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I find his words very inspirational. We can also open up to our own intuition and see possibilities in our own mind that are far beyond what is currently happening. We can create our own vision, and we can listen to that still small voice within, and we can actually tap into our own innate spiritual abilities. However we see or envision, we will then find that we have the same or even a greater experience that our two tourists did. We're setting things in motion. We're setting our life into motion. We're creating tendencies and experience, because what we see in our mind's eye as a possibility and then embrace sets up a pattern in our lives. Just as definitely as what we see and experience coming in through our physical senses from the outside world also is going to influence our experiences. Metaphysically speaking, what we see, what we experience depends upon what we see. What we envision, conceive, and believe in. And accept. It's not just seeing it. We have to accept it as a possibility. In the Bible, there are many stories about the healings of Jesus. And time again, it relates that Jesus said, "Your faith has healed you." Meaning that the people who came to him had already seen that if they came to him, they would be healed. They already accepted that if they came to him, they would be healed. And by accepting it as true, they already set it into motion. All they had to do in their mind was go and finish up by seeing him, and then they were healed. So what do you want to set in motion, right? That's the question. One of the things that I like about science of mind is that it suggests a lot of different ways that we can use to increase our faith. And so for me, one of the ways I can increase my faith is by studying and finding out different, like, logical ideas about it, you know, because I don't really like to just swallow stories, you know, hook, line, and sinker. I like to be able to have an explanation, see if it makes sense, you know. And so we talk about finding ways to increase your faith, but we're not talking about finding ways to increase your faith in me or Reverend Ron or Dr. Maddie. That's not the point. We're talking about learning to increase your faith in God or Spirit and your faith in yourself. Jesus said that others could do what he did. He had a special gift, but he taught other people how to do this, how to heal also, how to change conditions. Spirit is always working through us, as us, and for us. What we think is what we will experience to a certain degree. It kind of depends on how clear our thoughts are. So we might not recognize that we're thinking something because it's just kind of down in the unconscious. But whatever, conscious or unconscious, our thoughts are acted upon by Spirit. Ernest Holmes explained the process by saying you could think of it as your thoughts being molded, and that Spirit pours substance into that mold, or experience, or idea. So whatever it is you're thinking, you would like to see, or whatever it is you're seeing as a possibility, that's the mold. It's almost like, you could say it's like, in a way, it's like turning on a light switch. You don't create the light. The activity you need to take is turning on the light switch. So you don't need to create something out of nothing. The activity you need to think is choosing your thoughts. You'll often hear people using the term co-create. And that's why. Because we're using something that's already there, Spirit. And we know that Spirit is infinite, and that's the reason why all things are possible. So I was meditating on how to try to explain this, because in a way, it's a little hard to explain. It's all invisible, you know. I was thinking, well, I could have some graphics, but all I could think of was spelling WYSIWYG. So, you know, we're working with an invisible realm. So anyway, I was meditating, and I had a vision of hands clapping. And it occurred to me, you know, I know everyone has heard the riddle. What is the sound of one hand clapping? And that's something I think about now and then. What is the sound of one hand clapping? And suddenly I realized, oh, I could use that as an idea. Because the sound of one hand clapping is not half a clap, is it? No, it's not. There's no sound. Because one hand clapping is only bringing the potentiality of a sound. It's the potential. The potential is there for a sound. But on its own, there's no sound. There has to be communication, right? And that's how it is with creation. The creation of a sound, the creation of our lives or manifestation requires two hands. So with Spirit, we say all things are possible, but we are the thinker in our own life. So when I say with God all things are possible, it's obvious that all things are not happening, right? I mean, how can they be possible but they're not happening? They're not happening things. These things that are not happening are like hands not clapping. So when you have a vision, or when you see clearly, when you make a decision, when you have a very conscious thought, it's as if you have reached out with the missing hand and sound results. Thomas Troward, who is one of the philosophers that Ernest Holmes studied, said that we should think of it this way, that Spirit waits for us in smiling repose. Spirit waits for us. So metaphysicians describe the creative process as planting a seed in an infinite mind and that that infinite mind always says yes. Or as creating a mold which must be filled because spirit always says yes, or is choosing one possibility out of infinite possibilities. Our viewpoint in science of mind is that not everything is always going on somewhere, but that all things are possible, that there is a creative power for good, and that we can use it. And in fact, really, we're always using it. But we can learn to use it more consciously, more effectively, and more wisely. We can set in motion specific manifestations through our thoughts, beliefs, and actions. Spirit's intelligent, unlimited, creative, love in action. But the thing is, spirit's also impersonal until we make a personal connection. We have to open the channel. We have to make the connection. And until we take conscious thought, change does continue, life does continue, but in an unconscious way. And this is the reason that we give that you can understand why so many things just happen. It's not things that we wanted that happen, it's just that we weren't focused on what it was we wanted. So stuff happens, we're not alone, we're all together in this. You know, we create this shared life. And spirit waits for us, and spirit says yes, not just to me, not just to the people in this room, to people everywhere. All those thoughts bubbling up, creating manifestation. Ernest Holmes said, the universe is impersonal. It gives alike to all. It values each alike. Its nature is to give. Our nature is to receive. Time and time again, Holmes said, spirit doesn't play favorites. One person doesn't get their prayer answered because God has judged them to be more worthy. God doesn't pick winners. Prayers are answered when, like the people who came to Jesus, the prayers are believed in and accepted. And the great thing is that faith can be increased through study and practice. As Holmes said, it's a beautiful and true thought to realize that every man stands in the shadow of a mighty mind, a pure intelligence, and a divine givingness. The arrogant have not perceived the simplicity of faith, but the pure in heart see God. A farmer seen him in his fields, the child's frolicked with him at play. The mother has clasped him to her breast, and the fond lover has seen him in the eyes of his beloved. We look too far away for reality. The intelligence through which we perceive that there is a spiritual presence constitutes our receptivity to it. This intelligence decides what its flow through us shall be. We have made a riddle out of simplicity. Therefore, we have not read the sermons in stones, nor interrupted the light of love running through life. That was the other song. Michael Paul sang the light of love. It's like, yes. So Ernest Holmes was writing back in the early 1900s. When people studied Shakespeare. But the word sermon in stones are from the play As You Like It. William Shakespeare wrote this line. He said, and this our life finds tongues in trees, books in running brooks, sermons in stones, and good in everything. So what does this seeing good in everything mean? But seeing the light of love in everything. So, what now? If it's so simple, it's WYSIWYG. If good is in everything, then why aren't we experiencing good all the time? So there's a bit of tough love in this law of good, right? Love operates through law, through a law of cause and effect. Spirit can only give us what we take. That's what Holmes meant when he said the very same mind with which we perceive is the mind through which we receive. So go back to the two women on their tour. If we perceive, what a crummy day, we receive, what a crummy day. If we perceive, what a beautiful day, we do receive, what a beautiful day. We are the channel. It's our vision and belief that's limited, not the possibilities. So, what should you do? Well, see yourself as a child of God. That's my advice. If you need to, think about the story of the prodigal son. You know, there's a lot of tribulations he goes through as he leaves his father's home, and all kinds of mayhem and madness ensue. But the thing is, when he makes that decision to finally head home, his father rushed out to meet him. See, that's the key. Spirit waits upon us. Spirit is divine givingness. So last week, Reverend Ron told the story about the man who prayed to be saved from a flood. And then turned down everybody who came by to save him, saying, I'm waiting for God to save me. So we don't just need to do treatment and prayer for our good. We need to jump into that powerboat, right? When good comes, we need to embrace it. Ernest Holmes wrote, it is right to live and to enjoy living, to be well, happy, and to express freedom is to be in accord with divine law and wisdom. You, everybody, we deserve the best, because actually we are the living embodiment of spirit itself. So in closing, I want to repeat that old saying, treat and move your feet. Let spirit be your inner guide and protect you, because remember, what you see is what you get. And so it is.